And welcome back. I'm Brian, your host, and welcome to the Daily Buddhism podcast number 13. Remember that you can find all back issues and episodes of the Daily Buddhism emails and podcasts at www.dailybuddhism.com. Be sure to never miss anything by signing up for the daily email while you're there. And I'm also going to take this opportunity to remind everyone about the companion podcast concerning the Tao Te Ching. The Tao of the Day covers a chapter of the Tao every weekday. We're currently about halfway through the Tao, but that's okay. All past shows are still available and easy to download if you want to get caught up. If you're interested, stop on over at taooftheday.com or do a search on iTunes for Tao. That's spelled T-A-O in both cases, even though it's generally pronounced Tao with a D. Okay, and if you found this show through iTunes, then I'd appreciate it if you posted a review on the show there. If you have any comments or suggestions about the show, send me an email at dailybuddhism@gmail.com. If you'd like to discuss anything we cover, there are a few different ways to do that. You can post comments on the website. Every daily email article is also posted there, so you can post your questions, comments, or thoughts about that topic right there on the site, under the topic at hand. If you have a private question or comment, send me an email at dailybuddhism@gmail.com. And now something that was new last week, and I'm going to remind everyone again. Due to suggestions from listeners and readers, we now have a message forum. You can post your own questions or topics there, and anyone can respond to them. If there's a topic I haven't covered and you're interested in it, you can start your own topics there. The forum is called the Arcane Things Forum, and there's a link there from the website, www.arcanethings.com/phpbb3. Again, there's a link on the show notes. And now on with today's show. This time, we're going to cover the 8 auspicious symbols. And we'll end the podcast with a little something special submitted by one of our listeners. And now, on with the show. One thing that non-Buddhists always notice are the distinctive symbols involved with all the various sects of Buddhism. We've talked briefly about the Wheel of Dharma a while back, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. There are 8 major symbols, known as the 8 auspicious symbols. Let's start by discussing one you've probably already noticed many times, the lotus. The lotus has various symbolic meanings throughout Hinduism. And since Hindu influences pervade all of Buddhism, the lotus became important there too. A lotus flower grows in the mud. Its roots stretch below the surface of the water, the stem reaches up through the water, and the flower appears to float on top of the water. This reflects symbolically the growth of the soul through materialism, the mud, experience, the water, and the sunshine, enlightenment or nirvana. The color of the lotus is also significant, depending on what's being shown. White lotus is mental and spiritual purity. The red lotus symbolizes the heart, compassion, and love. The blue lotus shows wisdom and control of the senses. The pink lotus represents the original historical Buddha. And the purple lotus represents mysticism. So if you see a picture of a lotus, pay attention to the color. It's got a meaning. The heart of a being is like an unopened lotus. When the virtues of a Buddha develop, then the lotus blossoms. This is why the Buddha is often depicted sitting on a blooming lotus flower. The conch shell is another well-known symbol in Buddhism. This is another of the big Hindu symbols that has passed over to Buddhism. The great hero Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita carried a conch, as did most Hindu gods and heroes. A conch is used as a horn, often used to call together assemblies of Buddhists, especially in Tibet, but other places well as well. As the sound of the horn goes forth, so does the fame and truthful teachings of the Buddha. The parasol. A parasol is not an umbrella. An umbrella protects from the rain, while a parasol protects from the sun. The parasol also symbolically protects against the heat of defilements. Another way to look at it is that the parasol represents the sky, and the handle represents a mountain that holds up the sky, or possibly the axis that holds up the whole world. The proximity of the person under the parasol to the axis of the world represents the importance of that person. Still another way of looking at it is that the dome of the parasol represents wisdom, and the hanging part symbolizes compassion. The parasol as a whole represents the fusion of both. And guess who is usually shown sitting under a parasol? Get 2 points if you guess the Buddha. However, other important figures, such as the Dalai Lama and other important people, are entitled to parasols as well. The Golden Fish. Who wants to drown in the river of suffering? Who can avoid this fate? Why, fish, of course. Just as fish swim where they wish and migrate as they will, an enlightened being can choose his own migration, or rebirth. The fish can also represent fertility and abundance. The golden fishes are another holdover from Hinduism, and are usually represented as a pair, historically symbolizing the Yamuna and Ganga rivers of India. And the treasure vase. What could be more valuable than the teachings of Buddha? The treasure vase represents this wonderful, inexhaustible treasure. The vase in this situation is a round pot with a long neck and a jewel on top. There's a tradition in India of burying treasure in these vases, but the treasure in this case is limitless. The victory banner. Early Buddhists adopted the victory banner as an emblem of the Buddha's enlightenment, heralding the triumph of knowledge over ignorance. Buddha himself supposedly placed the banner on the summit of Mount Meru, symbolizing his victory over the entire universe. Mount Meru is believed to be the central axis supporting the world. The flag of victory also represents Buddha's defeat of Mara, who personifies hindrances on the path to spiritual realization. Specifically, there are said to be 4 types of Maras, each one representing an individual hurdle on the path to spiritual progress. These are emotional defilement, passion, fear of death, pride and lust. Buddha had to have achieved victory and eliminate these 4 Maras before he could attain enlightenment. The endless knot. This interesting geometrical figure is made up of overlapping corners and lines, and almost looks like some kind of maze or complex Möbius strip. You probably really need to see the picture of this one. Check out the site, www.dailybuddhism.com. Pictures of this and all of these symbols are on there. So as I describe them, it couldn't hurt to look at the website to see what it is that I'm talking about. Some of them, like this endless knot, are pretty hard to describe. But the intertwined lines of the endless knot represent the dependence of each person on everyone else. This concept of codependence is very important in Buddhism. Since the knot has no beginning or end, it also represents the limitless, unending wisdom of the Buddha. And lastly, the Dharma wheel. We've already discussed the Dharma wheel, so I'm not going to cover that again so soon. But we did have that a couple weeks ago. www.dailybuddhism.com/archives/45 talks about that one. And these 8 items are collectively known as the 8 auspicious symbols. They're especially common in the Tibetan tradition, but are also commonly used elsewhere. It's not unusual to see works of art that contain 1 or more of these symbols, and as you can imagine, with 8 unique symbols such as these, many artistic opportunities are available for the Buddhist artist. And lastly for today, we have something a little bit different. It's not a classic Buddhist text or a lesson in itself, but rather a modern poem submitted by a reader. The theme of this poem involves current events that we've discussed previously, both in the emails and blogs, so I don't think I'm going to give it any introduction. And here we go. In Burma, a poem by Molly Locklear. In Burma, last night I slept in Tibet and saw flags on the mountainside. The hope for all humanity in the hands of the people. Bowed in prayer, they cease the pain of this world. Their songs soar through the air, carried to all corners of earth. May someone hear their cries. Last night I slept with the souls of Burma. In a shallow, pitch-black hole we slept. In our spiritual nudity, we embraced and our souls lifted in praise. The blood-stained robes of monks and nuns stayed in the hole, and their pure souls were released. Last night, I slept in Beijing. The whole world gathered to witness history. Broken promises, broken people. Oppression is their solution. Bloody robes and bloody nuns. Government killing all who oppose. Their screams of freedom cannot be heard through the sheet of their oppressors. Last night they slept in me. The songs, sorrows, and screams. In my head they echo and show their bloody hands and feet. They comfort me in knowing that this world is transient. Kings to ants, and so on. Will this pain as much, it will not last. Soon their souls will leave their soiled tunics and broken bodies and rise to a new world of peace. And that was In Burma by Molly Locklear. You can see more of the author's work at www.thatmollygirl.com. If anyone else has any original poetry, short essays, or something of that sort that they think the readers here would like to read, feel free to submit it by email to dailybuddhism@gmail.com. Until then, see you next time.